I think the answer to the universe, I think that the purpose of the universe, of the reason why we're here, is a simple one in a sense. It's simply this. It was all created for relationship. Everything that was made was created for relationship. And it was a two-way relationship. Number one, a relationship with God, the Creator, the triune God, and with one another. There is a reason for getting up in the morning. There's a reason for going to bed at night. And it starts with this first thing, with a relationship with God. Without God, it doesn't make too much sense. If you try to resolve the purpose of living and the reason for living, and you take God out of it, you will be searching forever in a frustration, because the Scripture teaches, this is again the scriptural approach to it, the Scripture teaches that it was God who formed us. It was God who created us. He has the blueprint. And you'll never find God's purpose for your life. I'll never find God's purpose for my life if I leave the architect out. It's God who made it, and I must have a relationship with Him, as Mashta did here in her testimony, in order to figure out what life is about. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I've often marveled, you know, the back of your shirt, you can tell who made your shirt, right? Because it says made. It says who made it. And you know you got a good shirt if it's, oh, that's a good name. And you know it's not so good. What is this? Made where? Made in China for sure. You wonder, but in a way, there's a tag on the back of your shirt, my shirt. And it says, made by God. Made by God. That's the starting point. And something existed even before creation. And even as they said it on the cartoon here, or on the clip here, that something existed before creation, and that something was personal. That something was friendly, and it was not static. It was something that could be experienced. Scripture tells us that the Father, before time, before there was any earth, the Father loved the Son. John 17 talks about that. And there was communication. There was promises that were made prior to the creation of the heavens and the earth. So the whole concept is rooted in the reality of the Trinity, of this triune God who has revealed Himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There was love before there was an earth. There was communication before there was a planet Earth. There was something was going on. The Father loved the Son. The loved Son loved the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loved the Father. And it went, and there was communication, and a plan was promoted that how would the human race be saved from their sin because of a rebellion that occurred on the earth, and everything went wrong, and there's sickness, and there's cancer, and there's illness because of this rebellion. And someday the Lord was going to come back and to redeem it for His holy purposes and bring healing to the earth. But in the meanwhile, the humans had to be saved from sin, and so Jesus offers His life, and the Father lovingly allows Him to give His life for us. When did this decide? Before the foundation of the world. By the way, when were you chosen? Paul said, you were chosen before the foundation of the earth. The earth was formed. You were called long before. There's a relationship with the Trinity. Without the Trinity, we don't have answers for postmodern needs. It's in my mind, it's quite crucial. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. By Him, all things were created. Wow. So there was a plan. Yes, a plan. God spoke the earth into being. He's, by divine fiat, He spoke it into being. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Actually, I mused on this for the longest time. This is a very intriguing verse. And yet for us, Paul says, there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things. If it exists, it's because God made it exist. Even the devil. And I've often said, whatever else we would say about the devil, this is not original with me. He's Satan's devil, or he's God's devil. God knew about it. He was created by God. He went evil. but he was created by God. So there's nothing that's made that God didn't make. God made it all. And that's what Paul is telling us here. Whom are all things, and we exist for him. When you get up tomorrow morning, when I get up tomorrow morning, do I have to say, oh, this is another terrible, rotten day in my life. I don't know who I am, and I don't know why I'm here. I know why I'm here. I exist for him. And what a richness comes over your life when you get that straight. When you know for certainly that whatever else is that God... I remember when I prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior, I remember thinking that this was something I needed to do. And I needed to do it for a long time before that, that I just hadn't. There was something about when I accepted Christ, it seemed so right. I knew it was the right thing. As I heard the testimony this morning, it's kind of interesting that it was like she came home. And when she got to home, home was not, it was what she'd been searching for her whole life. And I'm thinking of this thing, when I finally prayed to receive Jesus, even as I was a young lad, I knew I'd come home. That whatever else the universe was about, I was a part of it. That God had made me somehow to serve him in this universe. And what a powerful shakeup that is in your own life. So this whole conception is rooted in the reality of the Trinity. And he says, and through whom are all things, and we exist through him. And as I read further, it says, the Father and the Son, you read this in John 17 especially, the Father and the Son are co-creators. Jesus created, and God says he created, and then came creation. And so when postmodern man screams for love, and screams for communication and for understanding and for relationship, as he so frequently does, we have an answer. We have an answer. Then here it is. There is value to love, and there is value to communication, and there's value to unity, because it's rooted into what intrinsically always has been. And that is that there was something going on before the world began. And God, even now, even here this morning, He's sweeping his eyes, his heart, across this congregation of people, and he longs to have a relationship with you. That's why we exist, to have a relationship with God. And if you have money, and you have prestige, and you have a house, as we heard this morning, and you have children, and you have all the stuff you're supposed to have, right? The stuff you're supposed to gather, the reputation, that connection with people, and you have that, then you're successful. That's what our society says, you're successful. But according to the scripture, your life could never be rich. It can't be rich because you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus. So you can have it all. This is when people, I remember I met, he used to run the McDonald's restaurant in Swift Current, Saskatchewan. Now, isn't that, you picture that landmark, you make that right-hand turn. There's that tree, one tree sitting over there. And he represented Canada at the Olympics in Mexico. And he was in charge, he was in the firearm competition, and he won a gold for Canada. And that night, he said he contemplated suicide. How could that be? We say, wow, you were the number one marksman in all of Canada. You brought home all the world. You brought gold home. Good on you. What a success story, he said, as I'm loading the gun. Because there was no more challenges. There was no more things to fill his life. He'd done that. He'd been practicing for 4 years. I think there's a lot of people like that. He said, if I can't go on like this. There's got to be more than this. Isn't that the cry? I'd say the majority of people, there's a cry in their heart saying, there's got to be. So you fill it with a holiday, you buy something new, you get a hot tub, you get a lot of things. I mean, they're not wrong in themselves, but they're wrong when they're fillers. When you're just trying to fill a vacuum in your heart. And so we long for, does anybody love me? I mean, if there is a God, how does he feel about me? And how could he possibly feel good about me? I'm one in 5 billion people. Not likely he's going to hear. And the answer is, yes, he does know about you. And yes, he does answer your prayer. Yes, he will draw near to you. And so when we, of course, the news or the talk shows always have some fun, and the sitcoms on television, they say, of us talking to God, say, "Oh, I suppose you talked to God." The answer is, "Yes, I did." And I suppose he spoke back. I say, "Yes, in a sense, I believe he did. I talk to him all the time." And it's not some plaything that I come as a little child and been talking to myself for years. It's a real communication that goes on. And it's a powerful, beautiful thing. It's because, so I feel love, I feel communicated to, and I feel that I'm part of something because I have a relationship with him. Now, as we said, we don't have all the answers, but boy, we don't need to be afraid of asking all the questions. That's fine. And we, as we get to know more and more about this God who loves us and cares about us. Psalm 33, verse 6 and verse 9, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." Oh, that's who made them. You know, these things are hurling towards us. The more you hear, by the way, let me just interject. We have on the 28th, we have a man with a doctorate in astronomy who travels. Right now he's traveling with the BC Creation Institute. He's going around. So we got an open, there was an opening. We don't normally have meetings on Saturday night, scheduled meetings like that, but it's the only time we could get him, so we're glad to have him. And you don't want to miss that meeting on the 20th, because here's a man, he's not just an excited, happy-clappy Christian who read a verse in the Bible. He's a man who studies this, his PhD is in it. And, of course, the more we understand of the galaxies, things flying towards us, they're finding more and more things. We say, wow, how much more is there? How much more of the heavens? And well, we just have to go back to the scriptures. "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all of their hosts were created." That's the God that we have a relationship with. He spoke, and it came to be. We don't know how he did it. All we know is that he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded it, and it stood firm. And so, before there was a world, there was love. There was purpose in the Trinity. So, that's the first thing. The reason we exist is for him, because he made it all, and he made us. What else is there? Well, the second thing, it's not just this way, it's also this way. We were made for life together. We were never meant to be sitting alone, lonely and desperate, looking for love, wondering if anybody cares about us. That's not God's plan. God's plan was for community. And so we see it in Psalm 133, verse 1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, there's nothing sweeter. There's nothing sweeter than having a friend. A real friend. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking this way. There's nothing better. What's better than two good friends having a cup of coffee together? There isn't anything. It's the best part of your day. There's something about friendship that we can't live without. Well, God had a great, great idea, and he called it his body. It's all those that have come to experience the new birth and have been born again, received Jesus as their Savior. It's that fellowship that we're supposed to be a part of. See, there's a reason for these things. Christianity is a communal religion. It's never meant for you and I to go it alone. We are Christians. We are Christians. We love Jesus. And here's the twist. And we really love one another. And our dearest people in our lives are often will be those that have come to know the Lord. I've had hundreds of people tell me, they said, "You know, I have a family and I've got uncles and aunts and cousins, but I'm not anywhere near as close to them as I am to my friends at the church. My friends at the church love me, would take a bullet for me." Wow, how good is that? You see, Christianity not only is about loving and serving Jesus, but about loving and serving each other. Our greatest satisfaction will be to bear each other's burdens. I hope you read the bulletin. I quoted Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer, in a brilliant. He was killed by the Nazis for his stance. He dared to oppose Hitler, and whereas the church in Germany apparently embraced him. So he didn't, and it cost him his life. And in it, he talks about this beautiful, amazing thing about bearing each other's burdens. You know, you'll be familiar with this language. Jesus bore our sorrows, right? Jesus carried our griefs. So there's that picture of laboring. That's what Jesus did for us. Now, Jesus turns to us, and he commands something. He commands that we will bear one another's burdens, that we will carry each other, that we would say in the terms of an old secular song, he ain't heavy, she ain't heavy, he's my brother. I'm called to do this. And he suggested, his book on fellowship, he suggested this, that if you do not bear the burdens of another believer, you are not a believer. Because it's what we do. This is not a surprise. Oh, those people, they made meals. Do you know those people? They gave a ride to that guy. Do you know that's what they, yeah. Don't applaud yourself. We're saved to serve. When one is down, see how difficult if he's got no one to help him up. And there's lots of people who have nobody to help them up. And here's an opportunity, right? We get this opportunity. And says, boy, you sure went out of your way. Yeah, but not really. We don't need any reward for this. This is what God told us to do, to help wherever we can. Now, I know there's a limitation, and sometimes people tax it more than it should, and we have to say, I'm sorry, we can't do that, or we can't do that. That doesn't work for us, and we couldn't find anybody, sorry, to move your furniture. We tried, but we couldn't. You know, there's sometimes like that. There's sometimes we have to say no because you will be burned out and your marriage will be over because you were out six nights out of seven helping somebody from the church, and finally your wife's going to say, here's somebody you can help. You can help yourself to the suitcase. Oh, listen, you'd be surprised. You don't say no. So with every yes, you want to say, I don't know, there's some no's, but that's not usually our problem. Usually our problem is that we haven't been bearing one another. So, we belong to one another only, and in Christ Jesus. A Christian needs others. This idea that I don't need anybody, and because it often is because we've been hurt, right? And so we pull back, we fold our arms, say, I don't want to. I got hurt last time I helped. Well, all I can say is, I can't count the number of times I've been hurt by fellow believers. Hundreds, probably thousands. Insults, put downs, comments. Oh man, you just don't worry about that. You know that person's hurting and they're just venting. They're just, they're upset, and you put up with it because that's what we're called to do. There, we belong to one another. We need each other, and we refer to it with a capital letter. It's called the fellowship. The fellowship of believers. And when I move, if I move from this town to, say, I move to Burnaby or even, let's say, Richmond, one of the first things I need to do, since this is probably quite a distance to come, maybe too far, so what I need to do? I need to join myself to a fellowship of believers. It's not just another coffee clutch. It's not just a social club like the Kiwanis or the Lions or the Rotary or anything like this. It's not like that. The purposes are different, and the everything about it is different. As Christian believers, we've been chosen from eternity, accepted in time, and united for eternity. So we often say, and you've heard this said, especially if, this is what they say. Said, well, I'll see you. And the first one said, well, you know how it is. If I don't see you here, I'll see you there. In other words, don't worry about it. We're going to see each other again. If I don't see you here, I'll see you there. And that's the truth. And someday we're all going to be together. And we're going to be telling stories about how we journeyed together as believers on the North Shore. We're told about how we bear each other's burdens, and it was a joy to help somebody. And here, then we truly can say, chosen from eternity, accepted in time, and united for all of eternity. As Christ followers, and we really are Christ followers, we all know that we're bought with a price. We are the redeemed ones. We are the ones who he loved and gave himself for. And so the righteousness that we have to be very careful to say, oh, aren't you a righteous lot? Yes, we are, but it's not our righteousness. It's borrowed righteousness. And it really is borrowed righteousness. The righteousness we have is an alien righteousness, a righteousness that comes from outside of us. It's got nothing to do with us, this righteousness that he's given us. It's been given and loved by, as he took our place, he took our place. And this righteousness that comes from outside of us, this borrowed righteousness, and so when someone asks a question, where is your salvation? Where is your righteousness? Which is often will be asked. That believer never points to himself. He points away, or she points away to Jesus. So we're able to say, as Paul did in the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. We're needed. It's not just a matter of helping flip the burgers, although thank you. Thank you for that. It's more than that. Much, much more than that. I need somebody who speaks God's word into my heart. That's what I need. That's what the nature of the fellowship is. We're speaking life into one another. I need another's. I need someone to revive me, just for starters. You know, I can't revive myself. I wish I could. I could eliminate a lot of middle people. Right? But I can't. I need someone to revive me. You'll be encouraged. If you hang around some excited Christian, you've become pretty excited yourself. And if you don't, you probably aren't too excited. I need somebody to encourage me. You do too. Someone to encourage. You can't encourage yourself. It doesn't work that way. You need someone to strengthen you. You need someone to bless you. And the way is often blocked by our own ego. I need someone to point that out. I do. I may not always welcome it, but I do. I need another brother to point out my pride. I need someone to point out my arrogance and someone to speak to me about my unreasonableness or my lacking to live in reality. Right? I need another one to point out my selfishness. Someone said, oh, you're being a little selfish, aren't you? You would have to. I wish you wouldn't say that, but you had to say it because we're on this journey together, encouraging one another, reviving each other, and without Christ, we wouldn't know God. We could not come to him. Christ opened up the way to God and to our brothers and our sisters. And now believers can love and serve one another. They can become one. But they can continue to do so only by Jesus. It's because of Jesus. Only through him are we bound together. In other words, it's not just a matter of shaking hands and giving some hug and a secret code or something, you know. Oh yeah, the code. Don't forget the code. And then we say, well, this is really a nice church. No, that wouldn't be. It's got to be more realistic than that. It's got to be more not so romantic. A matter of fact, you have to be kind of proverbially ticked off before you can really qualify to be a part of it. Because otherwise, you're not going to be disillusioned. You're going to be totally disillusioned when these things happen. I can look back over the years, the funny, the strange, the bizarre, the craziness. I should have wrote a book on it, but you had to be here to experience it. But I still maintain that even what I saw the other day of people coming up to pray for Carol and the children, knowing that Albert had gone home, to see the care in the courtroom last week, to see the care to Joe And I said, it's the fellowship. The F, with a large F. It's the fellowship. That's what it's supposed to be. Bearing one another's burdens. That's what we're called. If we do not do that, we cannot say, I am a Christian and I'm in Christian fellowship. It's that serious. This was God's plan. He's, first of all, we'd come to know him, then we'd come to know each other and travel together and do stuff together, and not just social stuff, but important things, right? But also frivolous things and fun things and things that we laugh at, things that we joke at, nights together, and training, learning from each other. And even this seminar coming up, you know, I know how it is, and I have to shake you a little bit here. People are going to say, yeah, when is that? When's that financial seminar? That was last week. Rats, I was going to go to that. You didn't, because you didn't sign up. So that's going to be a good night. I didn't tell them I was going to speak on this, did I? But that's going to be a good night. There's many that are struggling with their finances. It's tough to live on the North Shore. That I don't know if that's going to be hit the money right on the head or not, but this is a good brother, and whatever his name is, you know, that dear, beloved brother that we, that's right, Brother Loney. He's a well-known person, and we have met him, even if we can't remember his name. And the brother doing the parenting, and Mike Nichols. Listen, every couple here should come to the marriage one. Why? Because it's only one night. You can wrap up in 2 or 3 hours. Michael speak into there, and you go and say, as a couple, you say, I'm glad we went to that. It didn't take a lot of time. But wouldn't it be something to have 200 or 300 people here who said, it was free, it was at our church, and I didn't bother going to it. Why? And yet they want to go and talk to the pastors and get counsel for 4 hours. Hey, counsel is on, the Calvary is on the way. And you're good. And Mike Nichol is a very respected counselor. So I'm just saying, these are chances where we learn together and we sit together and we talk together and somebody speaks into our hearts about raising kids or about parenting or finances. It's excellent. Another night we come together and we watch about astronomy. The other day I was calling it astrology. No wonder they weren't quite as excited. But only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. Only through him we're bound together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9 and verse 16. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourself have been taught by God to love one another. Do this more and more. So what is our prayer? God, give us more love in this place. Give us more love, give us more love, give us more love, so that we can be the people that you want us to be. We are the fellowship. We are the fellowship. It's not perfect, but it's a little touch of heaven. There's a little touch of heaven to it that you say, I just love so-and-so. You, haven't you not come? Have you not parked your car and come and you see somebody and say, oh, good, so-and-so is here. I hope they were. I really like that person. And you don't even been in their home maybe, but you just appreciate them. You appreciate that they're part of you. And you say, where's so-and-so? Haven't seen so-and-so for a while. Hey, by the way, if somebody here asked that question to you and if they, about you, that's a great honor. Someone was asking. Said, I haven't seen. I haven't seen Joe for a few weeks. Is he okay? Yeah, he's good. He's been busy. Oh, okay. That's good. Just was thinking about him, right? Because that's where he sits. Are you catching this? This is what the fellowship is about. This relationship. It's this way. And then, of course, we look around and we see that there are many, many, many people that don't know the Savior. Now we've got to focus as the fellowship has been eating and drinking and sharing and learning and growing and being transformed. And then we reach out. We're praying for our neighbor. We're praying for those relatives. We're praying that during the Alpha, that when it comes, that maybe they'll only come to one. Right? Do you know, it said here 17 million. I think it's 27 million people have taken an Alpha course. 27 million people. And so here we have it right here. Right here we have it. We're having an Alpha supper, and what if your friend, if you say to your friend, say, listen, you say, I see you're going to be away, you can't be here for the first, or you can be for the first, but you can't be here for the second. Wouldn't it be great if they came to the first one, the first night, and they heard the gospel as Nikki shares that? That would be fantastic. You know, you don't even know that might be a spark would come, and the light would come, as we heard it from our sister. And that was the night that maybe they gave their heart to the Lord. So we're doing evangelism together, but it's together, trying to encourage and share as we share our faith. So our community with one another consists solely in what Jesus has done for both of us. That's the basis of it. Why do we hang out? Well, most of us wouldn't even go on holidays together, probably. That's okay, right? You wouldn't want to be on holidays with me. Say, well, we've only been here 5 minutes. Yeah, but I got the picture already, so on to the next thing. No, we need to look at things more. So I've ruined a lot of people who went out for the day for us. So you got to have to get the right rhythm. So now we've got it worked out for how Val and I can look at stuff and be a part of stuff. But we are different how we approach it, and you're different from the rest. So it doesn't. We're all a little different, but that's not. We're not together because we all do the same things. We're here because God's done something in you, and you and you and you. God's done something in our life. We can't deny it. And he says, now, in order for this thing to grow, I'm going to put you into my mystical body. It's the fellowship of the saints. Wow. You have to put up with each other, right? You have to forbear. Sometimes there's people that kind of think are really different than me. Really different. And I can remember one day somebody came forward for communion, but they were drunk. And I was standing on one side of it, and there was another. No, I guess we were both standing on the side. And he came up, and he toppled. He said, "I'm sorry, I'm a little drunk." And he toppled over, and we caught him just before he drove us both to the ground. And we pushed him back up. And somebody thought, he said, they said, "More Jesus, more and more Jesus, more." They thought he was slain. So we finally got him to sit back in the back. You know, we laughed about that. He said, "Finally, somebody was slain in the spirit here." But it was a brother who came inebriated. You know what we did? We said, "Brother, thank you for coming. We're really glad you came." And it's great. Why? Well, we're glad you're here. Even though there's just kind of stuff like that, I'm saying we know goes on, and we love and we care and we show concern wherever we can. We desire community, not merely some extraordinary social experience. You may or may not meet the partner of your life here. Don't let that be the reason for coming. But you might. You know what I'm saying is that you, what we're not meeting, it's not an evangelical dating club or something where, I'd met a guy just a few weeks ago and he was hunting. He was hunting for the ladies. And just checking it out, you know, checking it out. And I didn't feel all that good about that. Why? Because these are our daughters, right? These are our daughters that are here. And but on the other hand, how wonderful if you met the love of your life in this church, that we would be happy for you, right? We'd be very happy for you. How happy we are when you dedicate your children here. How happy we are when you get baptized. Just a great, these are great moments and great people. How much fun we have. You know, this thing has to be constantly fun too. It's our job to make sure that we're not taking ourselves too seriously. So we are put together to bring comfort and peace, and to share our lives together, doing life together, journeying together, and eventually for all for eternity. We will end up in eternity. And so life together, what a great idea. God, thank you. You know that there are people that don't have a fellowship. They don't even have anybody that likes them. Things broke down. Their wife had enough. Kids in trouble. And they don't have a taste of this thing. And here when we reach out, we invite people into this fellowship thing. And for the first time, sometimes they're not even used to it because they're not used to getting loved and they reject. And so they kind of get, don't judge me. Well, we're not judging you. We're just encouraging you. But they have been hurt in life. But how wonderful when they said, you know, I noticed that people really love each other in this church. And I've said, I hope that's always true. Don't think it's always true, but I hope that is true. See, because people just have, they don't have this for sure. And because they don't have this, they don't have that. Right? I think that many people, just the other day somebody said to me, I think if I ever was to become a Christian, they said, I can see the value of it because I can see it must be quite comforting to have each other. And I said, you've come very close to describing it. Yes, it's very comfortable to know that if you were rushed to the hospital today, we would come en masse. If we knew you were in, don't go there, just because I said that, but we would. If we knew you were sick, if we knew you were part of this church and you'd identified yourself, say, I'm part of the fellowship here. Okay, good. We didn't know if you were or not. But now, I'm telling you, we would come to your bedside. In droves, you'd hate us after a while. Don't let them come again. I've been in there. Again, there's Christians over the whole room. They're sitting on the bed. The patient's over to the one side. He's sitting in a chair because all the people from the church came. And everybody's witnessing to everybody, even the three seats over, they're witnessing to everybody. The nurse has to say, you have to have your friends. You need your rest, sir. Get rid of your friends. But the church came, right? And that's what happens. So we have an idea of why there is relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with each other. And then, of course, beyond to those that don't know Christ and to the four corners of the world in many, many ways. So we get to know God. We get to know our neighbor. What is our neighbor? Matthew 22. This is the key verse. The God who formed us says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. That's this. And love your neighbor as yourself. That person will not be disillusioned in life. That person will not be overwhelmed by life. I can tell this. I can tell right away. If they know the Lord and they have a fellowship, they're going to make it through that bereavement. They're going to make it through that illness. They've got people in their life. Who care? I can't be selfish. I can't just be sucking the life out every time, or it's me. I need to pick up the shovel. I need to pick up the backpack. I need to carry somebody's burden, right? And if you can wear people out because you ask more than what they can provide. But for the most part, we're built for it. And God will use you, and there's nothing better than going over to help somebody. Is there the best thing, the best part of the day, or to share Christ? Well, this is the meaning of life. Enough said. You got the picture. We exist to love God and love people. And the church is just one of the, by the way, I think I said in this service that we have branch offices. You know, we have one in Victoria, Pastor Stu McKenzie. If you're in Victoria, I would go to Stu any day, any time. He's a great, great, great pastor. You want to go to Grand Prairie. Well, our brother Jonathan is in Grand Prairie at this church that I'm speaking right now. He's at that church in Grand Prairie. And that'd be Nelson Jones. Oh, yeah, we have another branch office there. By the way, you're going to Regina, we have a branch office there of 900 people. You want to go to Toronto, we'll point you out a fellowship there. You see, you need to plan to always be in fellowship. I need to plan to always be in fellowship. If I don't belong to this one, because this isn't the only one, I will belong to another one. But I'm committed to growth. And I'm committed to journey with the body. And it's my privilege, and you have made it my privilege, to be here for all these years. And I have never ceased to be grateful. Never ceased to be grateful. The care that Val and I have received from you, it's like I'm giving a farewell speech or something here, but I'm not, at least I don't think I am. Maybe there's a meeting going on that I don't know, but I'm just saying, I've been on the receiving end, and we've been on the receiving end, and I trust that we've been on the giving end as well. God wants to use you, and this is an opportunity. So let's stand together, shall we? Yeah, worship team, come, please. They're going to sing a song in just a moment. But I just want to pray for you. We're excited. I hate that we're overusing that word too much, but we are excited about the things in the weeks ahead. I think we're going to hear lots of great stuff, and it leads towards Alpha, and we're hoping that someone will bring a friend and not just their Baptist friend from down the street who's already been at twice. We're always a little afraid of that. We just love people that don't, you know, just are new to them, and so we want to pray to that end, and we'll keep you posted if each week as to how to pray for that next week, but they've got some really good things that are going to happen, and so bow with me, please. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that we got just a glimpse that it was you who made it all. And we belong to you. We don't fully know all the implications of it, but we're so grateful that we've come to know you through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us to the Father. We love you. Lord, I pray, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, has not experienced your love, I pray that today they will move a step towards you. Maybe it'll just be a small step, but I pray, God, that they would open their heart and invite, say, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me from my sin. Lord, you're a wonderful Savior. You will save from the guttermost to the uttermost. You will thoroughly save us if we call on your name. I pray, God, if there's more than one, that hearts would be open today. Thank you for our time together outside. We ask your blessing on it. And thank you for just being here together for this great morning. In Jesus' name, amen.